So worthy. So worthy. You can be seated if you can. Thank you so much again, worship team, for leading us in the presence of God. My. How are we doing today?
Good.
We're doing good? It feels very dark in here. Let's bring the lights up on the stage and in the house just a little bit so we're not in a cave. It's Time Change Sunday. I don't want anybody falling asleep in church today. Y'all feel good on Time Change Sunday, by the way? Somebody said no, but at least you said it with passion. I can appreciate that. I can appreciate that. Listen, I'm finding as I get older in life, life is more and more about making the right decisions. And I just refuse to buy in that a Time Change Sunday has to be a bad Sunday. I refuse to buy in that you have to walk around like a zombie or like the walking dead, as it were, just like a bunch of desperate for caffeination Christian zombies in church. That's just ridiculous, man. I figure if Jesus can get up out of the grave, he can empower us to get up out of our beds full of life and energy on a Time Change Sunday. You know what I mean? So that's for somebody. That's for me, actually. I'm feeling it. I just decided this morning, man, I'm just not going to do that. I'm not buying into what everybody else says you're supposed to experience. Welcome to church today. You guys did it. Hey, thank you for being in the house of God today. I know it was not without some form of struggle, and it is so appreciated. It says a lot about you to be in the house of God. Not to throw any shade on those joining us online today. Maybe that time change caught up with you. I don't know, but listen, sit down, get some coffee where you are, at your home or wherever, and just dial into what the Spirit of God is saying today. I'm excited about this. So excited about what the Lord's doing. We get to baptize somebody later on today. I'm excited about that. So excited. Whether it's one or 1,000, man, we're going to baptize and celebrate and just keep reaching people for Jesus. Powerful story associated with the baptism today. It's going to be amazing. If you would, on the front end of this, if you would take a second and like and share the live stream. I have noticed over the last several weeks, we've seen a big bump in the amount of people sharing our live stream. Thank you so much for that, by the way, everyone doing that and people watching online doing that. It's helping us reach people that we normally wouldn't reach. I know for a fact we've got somebody, I believe, from South Africa joining us today online. Big welcome to you, man. Shout out to you. Glad that you're joining us. Can we give a big welcome to everyone watching online today? Yeah. So if you would, take a moment and hit that like button and that share button. Listen, the police are not going to come and arrest you because you bring out your phone in church to check on that. Stay off YouTube and don't be watching cats fighting dogs and stuff like that. But definitely like and share the live stream this morning. I'm just excited. I know I said that I'm just excited about life, and that doesn't mean everything's perfect in life, but I'm just excited about life in general. If you got your Bibles, tablets, whatever you got, let's open it up to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. All right, we're going to drop some wisdom on us as we jump into this today. I'm excited today because today also kicks off 21 Days of Hope here at the church. That is one of the best digital discipleship programs you can jump into. Everything is sent to your phone every day, scriptures to read, and things to just draw you closer to the Lord as we go into the Easter season. It just prepares you, I think, spiritually for Easter Sunday. It's just a great experience if you haven't done it. If you did it last year, I'd encourage you to jump in on that again today. 90-day growth challenge. We got a huddle after service today. So much going on. Have you noticed the thing, though? All of this is circling around us growing closer to God as a church, and I'm so excited about that. Let's jump into this. I'm going to do this all day. I got to get into the message today. First Wednesday was awesome, too, by the way, if you missed that. Lord have mercy, it was a great time in the presence of God. Proverbs chapter 27, starting in verse 12. As I read this, you're probably going to think about that special person in your life that this can apply to. It says, "A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences." You know somebody like that? I used to work with somebody like that. I was, I got a history in construction and doing rehabs on homes and painting and stuff. And that's how I paid the bills for a while, doing bivocational stuff and ministering. From time to time, if we need extra money, I dip back into that world. And we were doing some work on a house one time, and this guy was working. And I won't say the guy's name, Sean, but I'm picking on him because we joke about this all the time. Otherwise, I wouldn't say it publicly. But this guy is special. He was special that day. You ever just had a special day where, like, not all the cylinders were firing? And maybe today is that day because we all got robbed of an hour of sleep last night. I feel you on that. So I was painting some baseboard trim in a hallway in this house, and Sean was wiring a light in the hallway. We're just working around each other. And this guy was up there, and he's got everything in place, and he's going to splice the wires together on this thing, and he gets shocked because the wire's alive. Pops himself. And I look back, and I'm like, how'd that feel, man? He goes, not good. I'm like, I bet. And so I go on painting, and then a couple seconds later, I hear, did it again, second time. Like, okay, painting, here we go. Third time, he gets popped. And I look up, ladder's in the middle of the hallway, 2 feet away from him, is the light switch for the light that he's trying to wire up. All you have to do is turn it off, and the power stops flowing to it. Sean hadn't figured this out yet. The fourth time, bro, what? Turn the light switch off. Oh, I didn't think about that. You didn't think about it. Four times you got shocked and you didn't think about it. Oh my gosh, man, it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Oh my gosh, it's just like the living picture of that scripture, you know. But the trick is, we don't want to be that person in our personal lives. Yeah, we don't want that to happen in our personal lives. I've noticed that this statement is true, that our view of God will affect how we see circumstances in life. I've also seen the reverse of that true, is that if we put our focus on circumstances, it will affect how we see God. Whichever one we focus on the most affects the other. It becomes the focal point or the filter which everything passes through in life. And as a pastor, just give you a little piece of my heart in the beginning. And like my whole agenda, my whole motivation in doing what I'm doing, number one, is because God's called me to do it, you know, and I figure if he's called me, then I better do it. The second thing, and I think is right up there, is that I want to see people come to know Jesus. I mean, that's my heart. My motivation is not to build a huge church or a big church. I could just care less about that, and shame on anybody in ministry that's trying to amass a huge crowd. Individuals are always more important than crowds, you know. But I want to lead people to the Lord, and I think right behind that is I want to see people grow closer to God. I want to see people discipled. I want to see people grow, and that's why I spend the majority of my week, I'm praying and prepping for Sundays like this, but I spend a ton of my time in different groups and environments just pouring into people to see them become everything that God has called them to be. That's my life. That's my motivation. One of the things that I have seen, though, over the years is what we just talked about come into play, and it's one of the biggest roadblocks in preventing a child of God to becoming who God has called them to be. It keeps them from rising up past where they are to where God wants them to be. You know, God doesn't want you to stay down here in life spiritually. He wants you to rise up above your situations, above your circumstances, to be above only and not beneath, the head and not the tail, more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. It's more than just church talk. His desire is to equip us so that is reality in our lives. It doesn't mean that we don't go through storms, but when we go through it, we go through it. Instead of letting it destroy us, we overcome it and we benefit from it, so we're stronger on the other side. And I've seen this become a bigger roadblock with the majority of people because we are in the habit, I think, of following the same patterns that we were in before Jesus. And we focus on circumstances first, and it then affects our view of God. It affects our perspective. Instead of having a biblical worldview, we have a hodgepodge mixture of our worldview. Instead of having a healthy respect of who God is, we question his motivations and whether or not he cares about us because we're walking through storms. And I don't know if you've ever prayed this prayer: God, I'm here. I'm barely getting through it. Do you even care about what I'm going through right now? You know, and I think that our focus affects those things. And I think our focus would also affect if we're looking at circumstances that affects our eternal perspective. Word from the Lord for you today: whatever it is you're going through today will not be an issue 20 billion years from now when we are in the presence of God ruling and reigning with Christ. But if your focus is on circumstances, it affects your ability to see that. Conversely, if God is our focus and everything runs through him, now circumstances have to bow down to the principles and truth of the Word of God. And that's how we operate in our lives. So situations we don't like will arise, and we're going to face storms and deal with difficult people. So I'll go back to Proverbs 27, and I'll ask you on the front end, what's your focus like in life? Because a prudent person foresees danger and takes precaution. Someone who's wise knows that these things are coming, and they will align themselves accordingly to be in a better place to deal with them and navigate through them. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. I can tell you straight up, a degree from the school of hard knocks is not something to brag about. That's not something that you want. I would much rather pay attention to what's happening in life and prepare for it so that when the storm hits, I'm not scrambling for shelter. My life and my house is already firmly established on the rock. So bring it on, life. Bring it on, devil. Bring it on, people. What I'm planted on is unshakable. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather be there than freaking out. And I think that this becomes the bigger issue. And we'll dive into this a little bit more today. I don't want to just point out problems. I think that's not very smart. I think that a better course of action is identifying areas to grow in, and then let's figure out ways to grow, and then we move past it, you know. So a pogo stick only goes so far. So let's do some equipping and let's do some talking. I mean, have you ever thought about how big God actually is? I mean, really? I mean, we get caught up in our life sometimes, I think. I mean, perspective on how big he is, what he's capable of. I'm a science geek. I love science. I love looking at the stars. I've got a telescope I like to break out every once in a while, and I'll just get out there and I'll just look at stuff, and I'll look at Jupiter, and I'll look at Saturn, and see the rings on Saturn, see all these moons going around Jupiter, and through my telescope I can see the little spot that's doing this little deal going. It's just so cool. I love that stuff. God created all that, by the way. And I brought some photos to show you. It's just eight of them. We'll go through pretty quick. We live on this little blueberry thing called Earth, and this is us. Our focus in the entirety of our existence is in the confines of this little blue dot right here. You know what I mean? And if we're not careful, we forget what else is out there, all right? Now, I'm not trying to, this isn't science class, and I know some of you are freaking out because you're flashing back to high school because you did bad in science. This is a great perspective to have, though, in life in general, because our Earth is a part of something bigger. Go ahead to the next photo. We're in this thing called a solar system. In that solar system, we've got several planets, whether they stay qualified as planets or they get reduced down to whatever. Yeah, just, man, Look, quit hating on small planets. Just let planets be planets. That's all I'm saying. But our Earth is part of a solar system. So we know the center of our solar system is what? The sun. That's right. Not you. Look at the person next to you and say, hey, you are not the center of it all. So it's the sun and all these planets, asteroid belts and all of this stuff, moons around these planets flying around in our solar system. Our solar system, though, is part of something a little bit bigger, and we'll show you here. Our solar system is part of what's called a solar interstellar neighborhood. That's a big fancy phrase for multiple solar systems that are close to us. All right? So just like we live in our solar system, there's other solar systems, most of them around a huge star like the sun or something comparable. This is a graph of the solar systems that we know about that are close enough to us to be, to say that they're in our neighborhood. With more planets than we have, with bigger suns than we have, this is just around us in our little section of what's next, the Milky Way galaxy. Now, I'm going to walk over here. You see, you might see it better on the screens on the side, but see that little red dot? That is where our interstellar solar neighborhood is in relation to the rest of the Milky Way galaxy. That means all of those solar systems we just saw around us, us and those solar systems are right there in that little section. That little part, the closest known, isn't that crazy? So our sun is like 93 million miles away from us, they say, or ish, something like that. Can you imagine the distance from one end of our galaxy to the next? Now, here's what's crazy, okay? Our Milky Way galaxy made up of countless solar systems, neighborhoods of solar systems like we're in right now, is also part of something bigger, and we'll show you this one. This is our local galactic group. So that's galaxies just like ours that are close enough to us to be considered in our neighborhood, full of countless solar systems, stars, asteroids, doing their thing. Isn't that crazy? The closest galaxy to us, they say, is Andromeda. And they figure, if I remember right, it's either 22 or 27 million light years away from Earth. That's the closest one. Look at all of this. It's just crazy. Crazy. What's around us. Now, you take our neighborhood, and this, y'all picking up on the trend here. It's a part of something bigger. Our neighborhood or our galactic group is a part of this. This is called the Virgo supercluster. This is clusters of galactic neighborhoods like we're in proximity to us in our corner of the known universe. Am I losing you? This is crazy. So all of these specks and dots that are those are huge neighborhoods of galaxies full of trillions of solar systems. There's no way we keep up with any of it. It's amazing how huge it is. And here's what's crazy. This is just a corner of our known universe. Here's a picture of local superclusters. All right, this is crazy. These are now clusters that are the same size as the one that we're in, and a little bit larger part of our universe, full of, I mean, you can't even come up with a number. Galaxies. But forget the boatloader. It's you can't comprehend how huge this is, how many planets there are, how many stars there are, how many suns there are, how many comets are shooting through all these air, moving in perfect alignment and perfect rhythm, just like a perfect, well-tuned timepiece. And then all of this stuff now comes together to form what's next. And this is the observable universe as far as we know it right now. That little red wording right there, that's our supercluster of galaxies. That's insane. This is just what we know about as of now. That is huge. And that is what our God created with the spoken word. What's the point, Pastor Josh? Never forget about this. Can you put the picture of the earth back up there? Don't let your focus be about that. Lift up your eyes and see a bigger picture. The God we serve is in control over all of it. You know what I'm saying? The God we serve created all of it. And when you have the perspective of a God that can do all of that, are you really going to stress about whether or not your paycheck is what you say, what it needs to be? Are you really going to, the God that created all of that, do you not think he could speak the same word and bring about the provision that you need in your life? When we view circumstances first, it dilutes the awesomeness of God, and it blinds us from the truth of Scripture, and it throws everything out of rhythm for us spiritually. When we view God first, everything else falls in its place in comparison to how awesome and magnificent and unrivaled the King of Kings and Lord of Lords really is. Amen. That's what I'm saying. So don't get caught up in this stuff. There's a couple of things I would say every Christian needs to understand. Number one, they need to understand that salvation comes through Jesus. Not our good works, not anything that we can just try to earn ourselves. Jesus paid a price we could not pay. He bridged that gap that we could not do ourselves. I am so grateful that Jesus died for me. How about you? I'm so grateful for the grace of God. Let's just give God praise for Jesus in our life. You got to start there. Because if it's not about him, then it becomes about our best effort. And that's where religious confusion comes in. And then the church just begins to look like nothing like Jesus' intention. So salvation through Jesus. I think the second thing, and not as important as the first, but it flows pretty close second, is understanding of his lordship over all. He is Lord over all. The same God that spoke the universe that we're still discovering into existence is in control over all. He's still the same Savior that defeated death, hell, and the grave. He's still the same Savior that came up with those keys. He's still the same Savior that said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. His lordship is undebatable. It's irrefutable. It has to be that way, though, not just in concept, but right here. Because until it's settled here, you see, we're going to want to view life through circumstance first. And not that everything we're facing is under the sovereignty of the Word of God, the power of God, the authority of God, the eye of God, the promises of God first, not the circumstances that we walk in. Make sense? So we have to understand the principle of lordship. He's the one that runs the whole show. I used to work at a pallet shop straight out of high school. I built pallets. I don't recommend that to anybody. I think I was getting $5 an hour, which was big money, baby. Big money. $5 an hour. I could buy my own stuff, which means I could put gas in the POJ car I was driving. So I was big time then. So the owner of the pallet shop, you're at a pallet shop. There's really not much management or structure. It's him and the people that are building pallets. So we're building pallets, and he would go on delivery runs to the different warehouses to drop the pallets off that we've been building. And when he would leave, there was this knucklehead on our little assembly line that thought he ran the show every time the boss would leave. He thought he ran the show because he had been there a little bit longer than everybody else. I don't know that that speaks well for you. If you've been working at a pallet shop like you got tenure here. I've been here for 5 years before you boys even showed up. Yeah, but is that a good thing? You know what I mean? It's one of those things. So he's like, yeah, we need to do this. We need to do that. And we were like, dude, you're not in charge. We all have the same. You're making the same money we're making. You know what I mean? You don't have supervisor. You know somebody that just kind of likes to take charge and run things even though they don't have like the legitimate right to do it. You know? So we would just, man, he caused so much trouble trying to force himself into this leadership position that was not there. So much friction on the job site. And we just kind of joked. We were like, well, boss man just went off on a run for pallets. How long do you think it's going to be before? And here it comes. Hey, guys, we got to. And I appreciate wanting to take charge and I guess have some kind of motivation, but he went too far with it, man. He tried to be in your business kind of supervisor guy. Just like, dude, you don't have the authority. You're not legitimate in doing this. Back off a little bit. People try to grab that power when it's not rightfully theirs to grab. And if we're not careful, we do the same things in our lives. We try to grab authority that's not ours. We try to grab areas of life that's not ours. Listen, if Jesus is in control, who's in control? So it's our job to make sure we're in the will of God, okay? We don't get to call shots. We don't get to call shots. Everybody say, I don't get to call the shots. He does. That's amazing. If the sovereignty thing is in place, then a couple of things are true. Number one is if God is in control, then I am not. If he is in control, then I am not. Now, these are the issues that are either going to set you up for success and get you to rise above circumstances and life to operate where God wants you to be, or these are the issues that are going to keep you bound up living down here. So I'm trying to equip you. These are the mindsets you have to adopt and get away from. So if he's in control, I'm not. Everybody say, I am not in control. Isn't that a little liberating? It's God's responsibility to keep his word and keep his promises, not ours. So we're, for a Christian, now those operating in the world, the rules are different because you don't have a God to submit to. You don't have promises to claim for your life. You don't have the blessing of God to live under. But for the believer who's in alignment with the word of God and the will of God, those things are a reality. You know, so if he's in control and we're not, where then does stress come from? See what I mean? Why are we stressing? Now, I'm not talking about living in reckless abandonment and throwing responsibility to the wind. That's not what I'm talking about. We have to be responsible. But there's a difference between doing what you're responsible for and carrying the weight of the world. You know, if he's in control, then I am not. Being concerned about an area or concerned about your children or concerned about something, I don't think there's anything wrong with being concerned. Amen. There's a big problem, though, with letting worry dominate your mind. Amen. You know what I mean? So if he's in control and we are not, there is peace in that. There's peace in that because I know all I have to do is do my part and he will do his. Are you with me this morning, church? Listen, I'm not saying if you're stressed out, you're going to hell. What I'm saying is if you're stressed out, ask yourself why. Maybe the questions lead to, I am trying to control more and hold on to more, and I'm worried about more than I need to. You're situational and circumstance focused, not God focused. That's why there's stress. That's why there's worry. That's why anxiety's kicking your rear end. That's why you don't have peace in your life. God moves at the pace of peace. If you don't have peace, even in the middle of a storm, you can have peace because he's the one that's in control. Amen? So if he's in control, then I am not. And dealing with the sovereignty of God in this principle, if God is in control, it's his way and not mine. It's his way, not mine. He created the universe. He spoke all the law, the physical laws, into being. This universe is operating on systems that he created and put in place. It's his word, amen? It's his word that we're going to be judged by at the end of all things, right? So if that's the standard that we're going to be held accountable to, maybe we should jump back to Proverbs and apply it and say, if that's ahead of us, we better be prepared for it. And make sure that we're doing things his way. Listen, you don't get the blessings of God by doing what you want to do. The blessings of God always follow obedience. Always obedience to the word of God. Okay? If you're living with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, you're not married, you're sexually active, don't come to me and ask me to pray for God to bless you guys financially. It doesn't work that way. You have to be obedient to the word of God for the blessings of God to operate. You know what I mean? People come in and say, well, I'm going through a financial storm. My first question is always going to be, are you tithing? Well, no, okay, then we've got nothing else to talk about, because if you're not in alignment to the word of God, you can't operate under the blessings of God. I mean, I can pray for God to give you some wisdom, but to try to claim a scripture, you can't. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to line up with the word of God. This hits every area of life. Okay, it's his way, not mine. It's his way and how I conduct myself at work, not my way. Well, you don't know. Well, they deserved to. Maybe they did. But what does the Bible say? How's your work ethic at work, by the way? Are you in the break room watching the clock like everybody else? Or are you out on the floor grinding and doing what you're supposed to do? And saying, you know, it applies everywhere. I can't get a promotion. Well, are you working like a person that needs a promotion? You know, it's his way, not our way. Well, I got no control over the kids in the house. Well, are you sparing the rod and spoiling the child? Jeez. It's his way, not our way. See, the frustration comes when we don't apply the word of God to our lives and expect God to respond biblically back to us, or at least the way we want it to happen. It doesn't work that way. We got to be careful. Last week, we talked a little bit about being in the world, not of the world. And this doesn't just apply to personal things. This applies to the bigger issues and pictures of life. It's his way, not my way. Okay? We're in the middle of an election season. Ready, set, here we go. All right? Get ready for all the fun stuff to happen that's going to happen. We've got two clear front runners right now in both parties. Or the election, should they both stay alive until election day. We will see. They're both up there in years. Are they ideal candidates? Absolutely not on either side. The last election was probably one of the more polarizing things I've ever seen in a church in my life. Because people got caught up in the political process and the circumstantial, listen, why are y'all looking a little awkward right now? Y'all know what I'm talking about. They got caught up in all of this stuff instead of seeing things through the eyes of biblical perspective, amen, eternal perspective, and the word of God. And that situational focus created so many fires that I had to put out as a pastor, that my pastor buddies had to put out in their churches. Because, well, you got to vote this way. No, you got to vote this way. Well, you're not a Christian if you don't vote this. You don't understand. Who are you to judge me? Anybody? Yeah. Nobody got saved. Yeah. We talked a whole lot about who was running for office. I bet you not one flipping person invited somebody to church in that season that was caught up in that. What's the focus? You know what I'm saying? So it has to be. Can I just settle this in church on the front end in March for an election that's coming in November? Can we just settle this? Listen, how should a Christian vote? I don't know. Where's your focus? Amen. Yep. Is it on circumstances or is it on the word of God? Amen. Because you're going to, that if it's on the Word of God and God's in control and He's, if you have a biblical worldview and you have an eternal focus, you have to, there's just no way, you have to vote for the candidate that most closely represents those biblical values. Doesn't matter who they are. Listen to me. There might be less people here next week than this week. I just don't care. I love you enough to tell you the truth. You're going to have to stand in front of God one day, not me. So think about that. You're accountable for your vote. So if somebody, and listen, neither one of these candidates are ideal. Neither one of these candidates are morally in line with the Word of God. Neither one of them, all right? They're not perfect. Billy Graham is not running for president. Okay, they're worldly people coming from a worldly system with a worldly point of view. See it for what it is, all right? Now, that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to vote, but your vote says a lot about you. So I'm going to look at the platforms of the candidates. Listen to me, not the talking points, all right? We've got one person running who may or may not have proper cognitive function. We've got another person running who cannot control this thing right here. So one person might not be able to live through a term or do the job, and another person is going to say mean things about people and hurt feelings. So who should we vote for, Pat? I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm telling you what the Bible says, okay? The Bible should tell you the rest. So I'm going to vote for the platform. Amen. The platform that does not promote abortion. Amen. Okay? We can talk about that later on in the year. I don't know what your personal opinion is on that. I'm quite honest with you, and I say this with love, I could care less what your personal opinion about that is. Amen. I know what the Word of God says. So what's the platform on abortion? What is the platform on the homosexual agenda? Amen. What is the platform on the materials that are being brought into our public schools, Amen, to either teach our kid or indoctrinate our children? Okay, that's what I'm going to go back to. I'm going to say which platform, what's the agenda of the platform towards the church? Amen. Okay, because as we progress, and the current president said a lot of things about the upcoming agenda that they tend to roll out, and it would give me pause if either candidate announced those things as part of their agenda. I would say, what does the Bible say? If they don't stand for these basic things in the Word of God, and they're coming after the church, right, I might not morally agree with the other one, but I know that that one will at least protect my right to stand on my biblical morality and not come after me. So which one is going to help promote the gospel the most? That becomes where I land. Not on the individual, on the platform. You understand what I'm saying? Because neither one of them are good people. They're a product of the world. So make sure you're seeing it for what it is. So as election time comes, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Okay? I'm saying this in March. We are going to have peace and unity in this church. Okay? We are going to keep our focus on reaching this world for Jesus. All right? In 4 years, we'll have another president. Spoiler alert, regardless of who's president, all of this is going to head towards the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. So maybe we should start seeing it through that lens and get busy reaching people for Jesus instead of griping and finger pointing and getting caught up in a whirlwind of junk that's a distraction for the church. All right? So vote and do what you're supposed to do. Vote for the one that's at least given the Bible a chance to get out there. But I'm telling you. Well, you're telling me, I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm just saying, apply the Word of God for sure. Because if He's in control, it's His way and not ours. All right. So last thing, if God's in control, then it's His timing, not mine. It's His timing, not mine. See, these are the things that derail us. These are the things that derail us in our walk with God. These are the things that keep us down here. He's in control, not me. Okay, if He's in control, then it's His way, not my way. If He's in control, it's His timing, not mine. Because He sees everything. He stands outside of time and sees the whole playing field, everything at once. Okay, we see this right here. This right here. That's it. We're on that little blue planet shooting around our solar system at about 67,000 miles an hour. And we got no brakes. You know what I mean? He's in control of all of it, so we got to trust His timing. Trust His timing. You ever been impatient waiting on God to do something? Yeah. Boy, that's one of the bigger things to have to... But we don't understand the seasons like God does. I do know this. He's more concerned about what's happening in you than what's going on out here. So it's always in those times of waiting, it's always the best plan to focus on spiritual growth. To focus on spiritual growth. I'll say that. Yeah, He's in control. It's His timing, not ours. Now, I'll drive this home a little bit. In Mark chapter 4. Are y'all with me, by the way? Yeah. Y'all are doing great for a time change Sunday. So Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. I'll pick on the disciples just a little bit since we're in this line of thought. Jesus is out with His disciples. He's doing the Jesus thing, healing people and all that. And He wants to go to the other side of a little sea. So verse 35, it says, that day when evening came, He said to the disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along and just as He was in the boat. Jesus rode in boats. I like boat Jesus. I want to be more like boat Jesus, especially with fishing season. Come on. Anybody like fishing, by the way? And golly, I love fishing. I went out fishing the other day, did not catch one thing. I still had the best day ever out there on the water. I will redeem it on the next trip. So there were also other boats with Him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat. Now this is a serious situation. You got waves coming over the boat. That's bad because you got water in the boat that ain't supposed to be in the boat. You're going down. So that was nearly swamped, the Bible says. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. I love this. Not only does Jesus ride in boats, but Jesus takes naps. Oh, that's so good. So good. Man, I bet you a lot of our problems week to week would be solved if we just take a dadgum nap. You know what I mean? I just reset, reboot, and all of that. So He is there taking a nap, and if you've been in church for 5 minutes, you know this story. So they're freaking out, and they woke Him up and said, teacher, don't you care if we drowned? I love that. We're in a situation. Don't you care what I'm going through? Don't you care what's happening here? And Jesus gets up, rebukes the wind, and says to the waves, quiet, be still. The wind died down, and it was completely calm. The wording here, if you dig into it, suggests more than what you read, it suggests that Jesus didn't just stop the storm, but in a creative act, He spoke and created peace. Amen. Amen. A lot of meat on that. Yeah. No matter what you're walking through, it just takes one word from our Savior to change it all. So then He turns around and He says to the disciples, I love the love and tact. He says, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And disciples are like, the boat was full of water, bro. That's why we were so afraid. Do you not have faith? He turns around and gets on them. Why, I wonder. They hadn't quite gotten that perspective right yet, I don't think. Verse 41 says, they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and waves obey Him. Amen. If they really knew who Jesus was, it wouldn't have surprised them. that the wind and waves obeyed him. He created the wind and waves. Most of the freak out moments we have in life, just truth, is because we still have not fully grasped who he really is. And the closer you get to God, the more resolved that situation becomes. And I get on them for not, you're right there in the boat with Jesus. You've seen him do all these miracles. How could you not know who this guy was? But I can look back on my life, and if I'm just being honest with you, man, there's just been those moments in my life where my first go-to was not, Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. It's, holy cow, how am I going to solve this? Oh, Lord, you're going, you know what I'm saying? And I've had to retrain myself. And sometimes I do better with this than others, just being honest with you. I haven't always batted 1,000 on this. But this is one of the greater lessons, though, in our walk with God. If we can solve this issue of sovereignty and see him for who he is, boy, that wall comes down. Now you're a new creation that's a new creation. These are the things that derail us and get us off track and get us out in left field and get us in places that sometimes we don't come back from spiritually. I'm going to show you another photo this morning. This is of a lady. Her name is Geraldine Largy. You may have heard about her in 2016. She became really famous for a little bit. She is a hiker who is on the Appalachian Trail with a friend of hers. They were doing their thing, trying to complete the trail, and her friend had a family emergency and had to suspend the hike. Well, Geraldine decided she didn't want to. She was just going to keep pressing on and would meet up with her friend at a location further down the trail when the friend was ready to jump out. You need to come off. It's not good to travel alone. No, I got this. I'm good. Her first mistake was she tried to do it by herself. There's a lot of preach on this. I'm just telling you. Tried to do it by herself. In the process of going down the trail, she had to take a bathroom break. She got off the trail to give herself enough distance so there were no surprises if another hiker came walking by. And got turned around just in doing that and couldn't find her way back to the trail. So she thought, okay, what's something I saw on a TV show one time, probably. She saw a high point. It's a little hill, little ridge, further this way into the wilderness. She thought, well, if I go there and get elevated, I'm too old to climb a tree, but if I go there and get elevated, then maybe I can see the trail and work my way back. So that's what she did, but she just went further into the wilderness. My question immediately, being somebody that goes out into the woods, where was your compass? Where were your markers? You can get turned around in the woods, even going 100 yards off a trail if you're not careful. It just takes a moment of distraction, you know. And I know you're thinking, what about her cell phone? Well, there's no cell coverage where she was. So she was unprepared. So she was alone and unprepared. And she thought she was going somewhere safe that was taking her away from the safe place. We're focused on circumstances. It quite often takes us away from the safe place, which is right next to God. Amen. Later, they found her body almost 2 years later. In her sleeping bag, in her tent, a hiker discovered her. And when they brought her phone back to life, all the text messages she was trying to send started coming through to her husband and family and things like that. They pieced together from the messages where she had gone and what had transpired, and All of that happened because she got off the trail. And this is what the enemy wants to do with us. He wants to get us off the trail, you see. To try to solve things on our own, carry weight that we were never intended to carry in life, to try to do things on our terms, not God's terms, to try, instead of waiting on God's timing, to just jump ahead and try to make things. We create our own problems by getting off the trail. This is why this matters. This is why this issue of sovereignty has to be resolved with us, because until he is Lord, that seat's vacant for us to jump into anytime we feel like we need to, and it gets us off the trail. Why do people die spiritually? Because they get off the trail. Why do people, their walk with God just tanks because they get caught up and overwhelmed with what's happening in life? Their point of view is in the wrong, their perspective is backwards. They're seeing life through what's happening instead of seeing it from a biblical perspective, and they're off the trail. Guys, listen to me. Don't get off the trail. All right, you guys at home, don't get off the trail. Let him be in control. Our job, really the only control we have is the ability to choose. We can choose to trust God. We can choose to apply the Word of God to our lives. We can choose to be obedient. We can choose. And that's about it. So choose to stay on the trail. Don't get off. Don't let the enemy mess with you. All right? Now I want to know who I'm talking to real fast. So bow your heads and close your eyes. No one looking around. If you're here this morning and you say, you know what, Pastor Josh, this word was for me. This word was for me. When I count to three, just lift your eyes up and look at me. This word was for me today. I needed this. My focus was a little off. I needed to be reminded. The Lord is speaking to me today through this. This was for me. If that's you, lift your eyes and look at me on three. Here we go. One, two, three. Lift them up and look. And eyes are going up all over this place. God's speaking to us, man. He's speaking to us. So we need to listen. Let's all stand this morning. Let me just lead us in a prayer. We're going to baptize somebody in just a little bit, but before we get to that, oh, I'm so excited. I really am. Let's just all lift up our hands in the presence of God, and let me just pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for each and every one of these people. Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word this morning and how it just applies to all of us. Lord, I pray that you would maybe shift our focus just a little bit on how we see your word. It's not a book of rules and do's and don'ts. It's really like the best equipping tool for life itself, and helps to prevent us from getting ourselves into so many situations. Lord, help us to stay on the trail. Help us to stay under your sovereign control. If you are Lord, then be Lord of all, every area of our lives. Father, we just collectively, Lord, you are in control of it all. Father, you are in control of our finances. You are in control of our family. Lord, you are in control of work. You are in control of it all. Lord, the issues that we're trying to grow past, Lord, if we apply your word and do what it says, it'll produce the fruit you said it would. It's your way and not our way. So instead of complaining about what isn't happening, we're going to align ourselves with your word and put it to work. You are in control, Father. It's your will. It's your way. It's your timing, not ours, Father. So Lord, we repent for grabbing onto something that we have no right to grab a hold of. Lord, we trust you. We trust you. You are uncontested. You are all powerful. You are the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And everything bends to your will and your way. And billions of years from now, we'll be ruling and reigning with you. And what Paul calls these light and momentary troubles won't even be an afterthought for us. Let us put our eyes on that, Father. To have an eternal perspective, to have a biblical worldview that everything is filtered through. That while there's breath in our lungs, our mission becomes to reach people for you and see them grow in their faith, because when it's all said and done, nothing else matters but that. Father, we'll line ourselves up with your will for us as the church. And as we line ourselves up, if you're in control, then you're in control. You said if we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness and all the issues and affairs of life, you said you'll provide. It's there. All we have to do is do our part, and you'll do yours. So, Lord, we stand on that truth. We stand on that promise. Lord, we decide today to stay on the trail, to not get derailed by the distractions, to see this thing called life from the right perspective, not through our situations, not through our circumstances, but through the lens of the Word of God. And we thank you for giving us your Word to show us the way. We give you glory and we give you praise in this place, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's give God praise in the house this morning.